And so, welcome to the third Sunday of Advent. And he didn't say it this time, but I'll say it for him. Unity is its own creative entity, which, according to our fine Catholic ones, have messed up the order of the of Advent. So usually, I guess joy is now and love is last. The pink candle as today. No, when Roger says the pink candle is today, the pink candle is today. There's not many times when Roger's firm, but he was pretty firm this time, so I listen. And so welcome to Advent. So one of the things I've neglected to say for these last 2 weeks is that Advent is all about becoming. It's a welcoming, a coming into being, and a being of use. It's an adventure, actually. I mean, if you're becoming, it's an adjective. You're action. There's an action of becoming something. And you're like, well, Reverend Crystal, I'm already somebody. I'm blah 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 blah. But you're here in church, and so we're reminding ourselves, and that's what Christmas is all about, is to remind us is that we are greater than our own perceptions perceive us. And that is the wonderful story of Jesus. That at least is the metaphysical. That's the word I've been trying to get out. The metaphysical meaning of the Christmas story is a reminder that we aren't just the humans, that our responsibility in coming here and Jesus' lessons are for us to evolve and rise up from this human level, from this intellectual level, to the truth of who we are. We are divine, and we move up into a spiritual level. That is the truth of who we are, because that is the truth of who Jesus was. And Jesus was here to lead by example, to be the testimony. And so we move forward in this time. Charles Fillmore in Keep a True Lent says, the time is ripe for the advent of a new race, the advent of the spiritualized man. This will be brought about not by the miracle of the fiat of God, but by the gradual refinement of the man of the flesh into the man of the spirit. Now, okay, so this is 18-something, so you can put human in there. Whatever it is a blessing that we are moving forward for our truth, that we are pregnant. All females and all males, yes, you are pregnant. You are pregnant with the divine moving in and through your bodies, your consciousness, so that you can make Claude, it's all right. Claude's back there wiping out sweat. I think he illustrated what you guys were all kind of thinking. And you know what? Apropos, because it is sometimes difficult work to move beyond the aspects of the world, the mediocrity of the world, and to embrace the truth of the greatness that God wants for us, the truth of the spiritualized man that can go beyond the five senses and move forward, elevated in the truth of what Advent is all about, and the truth of having faith, the truth of bringing peace. And today we're going to put those ingredients, put some love into it, some divine love into it, so that next Sunday, we can rise up in joy. In joy. Because the joy of the birth of Jesus is what it's all about. Note, though, metaphysically and from unity, we pay attention to the fact, and it's the basis of the story, that this isn't the birth of the Christ. I know that goes away from the Orthodox Christianity. We are looking at the birth of a man who knows he's a spiritualized man, who knows that his purpose is to evolve into that, the truth of who he is, which is the Christ. When we all talk about the Christ is born, we're talking about the man who understands, the baby who will turn into the man who understands exactly who he is. And at some point in time, we are here to evolve into that truth, that we are here to grow forward no matter what the illusions of this world are saying, that we are here, we are placed here, we are manifested here to be the truth, that we are all accepting our child, our sonship, our daughtership of God, because we are created to be beautiful. And so, metaphysically, the Christmas story is faith in action. That's why we start off with faith versus hope. And every character has a part in their seeing, hearing, and otherwise discovering what is theirs to do. Then that discovery becomes a vision, energized into manifestation, motivated by faith, peace, love, and then joy. Every person is called in to step beyond a normal behavior and do seemingly impossible things. And that is to become. And I think the person who stepped up and said, well, Reverend Crystal, why are we talking about the birth of John the Baptist when we're talking about Christmas? Well, the Christmas story for us starts with John the Baptist, because if you remember, even biblically, John the Baptist is the one that makes a way for Jesus to come about. And that happens symbolically in John the Baptist's birth, as well as that leads away to the Jesus birth and us recognizing the truth. For who was born as John the Baptist is truly the precursor for Jesus. And this is why. So we talked about faith. We recall that Mary finds out that even though she's a virgin, yes, she's engaged to Joseph, but they have not been together. And so she is pure. She's a virgin. And yet she finds out from the voice of God, from an angel, a messenger of God, that she's pregnant. It takes a lot of faith, first of all, to realize that you're pregnant. Secondly, to realize that you're pregnant by God that created everything. And thirdly, I'm sure there's 100 of reasons why to have faith for her and Joseph, that she will not be stoned or at least be thrown out of her home. Because back then, and even now, I mean, women have this over them, that she was thought to be a bad person if she released, whether by force or in agreement, her virginity, her purity before marriage. But she had faith. She had faith that the messenger of God, this angel Gabriel, was truthful, that she had within her magnificence, the potentiality to give birth to that comes from the seed of the Most High. In faith, she can move forward with that. While she was processing this, she then heard that her cousin, by the way, it's her elderly cousin, Elizabeth. For Elizabeth is far beyond the age of childbearing. And Zechariah, her husband, is far beyond the age for the seed to be worthwhile to create a child. And yet, Elizabeth became pregnant. The miracle. Mary was a virgin. Elizabeth was not of the age to be able to give birth. And yet, she was impregnated. Elizabeth is metaphysically interpreted as the soul. But it isn't just the soul that appreciates God. It's a part of the intuition. And it is the intellectual soul. It is the soul that is in awe of the beauty of God. And the soul that is in a part of the beauty of God was impregnated by Zechariah, that priestly form, that person who in consciousness wants to look to higher thoughts, wants to be of higher thoughts in prayer and in all actions. So for peace, the scripture says that In those days, Mary set out and went into the haste into Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth, meaning that she went into a place where actively their actions of this co-creation is bringing forth the activity of peace. Because once you go into prayer and have faith in it, there is a process of peace. And I think we can all identify that, yes? That when we have faith and we go into prayer and then we have faith that our prayers are answered, what is the first thing that happens? There's a level of peace that comes over you. And the scripture continues on where it says, when she, being married, entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child that was within her leaped in her womb. And that's where we're going to stop, because can you imagine that such love that Mary represents comes forth, and even the mere greeting has an effect not only on Elizabeth, which is the intellectual love, but has an effect on the unborn child, so much so that it moves, it leaps, because there is a joy that comes with divine love, which the mother Mary is identified with. Mary comes up because she's the difference between Elizabeth as the soul and Mary as the soul. Elizabeth is that soul that is in awe, looks outward, sees the beauty. We all see it. That is a stepping stone that is great to be able to see the beauty and appreciate the beauty of God in everything outside. Mary, the spiritual soul, realizes that within her, God is made manifest, and she magnifies God. There's an expectancy with Mary, an expectancy of greatness, an expectancy of divine love, an expectancy that gives birth to Jesus, which is what I said before. God's thoughts of the divine man, the divine human. And so this is why John the Baptist is the precursor, because in many ways, these trains of thoughts, these evolutions are our own stepping stones internally. It's hard for us to immediately go to that God is, we can think of God as outside, yeah? It's easy for us to look at a bird, look at a beautiful Sue walking in and go, "Woo, Sue is so beautiful." To look at your neighbor, to look at so many different things, and to say, "That's beautiful, I see God out there." And yet, how is it kind of hard for most of us to see God in here? See the truth that God is within us, blossoming and impregnating us and bringing forth the truth, especially when we've done so many things that we can consider mistakes. As soon as we move forward with the thought that, I can feel God's presence within me, I can feel the oneness, not just the separation seen in, but I can feel God, something happens and boom, it's out of. We're back to the outside. So the stepping stone is that we look at John the Baptist story first, because that we can identify with the John the Baptist. We're here in church. We have higher thoughts of prayer and wanting to know God. And we look outside and we have within our soul that heart and that love. But it takes a little while before we can embrace the truth of Jesus as the truth of our own being. But when we look at Jesus and his whole story, from birth all the way until his crucifixion, that is all Jesus has been saying, is look at me as the testimony. Look at me as the example for all of us to follow. And so the ingredients, the conception is the union of the female and the male, yes, but the female is the soul and the male is the intellect. And when you bring those together, depending on whether it's a male or female, it's either going to bring the mixture of those two in thought or mixture of those two in the type of soul that you have. So that's the intellectual component of unity. But it can resonate with us, because we can either, most of us are usually John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a forerunner. John represents the attitude of mind in which we are zealous for the rule of spirit. That's why we're here in church. But Jesus was the example that showed us, yes, we can be zealous about it, but we also need to know our oneness. Father and I are one. And so it takes this divine love, this opening up within ourselves, our evolution of becoming the Mary, that soul that knows that God and she are one, that we're all one, to embrace this aspect of love and to merge all these things together so that we can be the example, just as Jesus wrote later on in the Bible, as he was asked, what are the greatest commandments? And Jesus said that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart and with all thy soul and with thy mind. And this is the first commandment. The second commandment unto it is love thy neighbor. So how do we move forward in getting this ingredients in love and not seeing it just on the outside, but embracing it within? The first thing is to learn to say, not only, I love you, God, which is the awe component. Man, I love what you're doing out here. I love you, versus I am in love with you. That there is a communion, there is a communication, there's an integration that is also that which says, I am in love with this being. That's one of the reasons why I like Hafiz and the Sufi poets, because it's not mild-mannered. They're love stories and love poems about the beloved. You know, and most of the time I read Hafiz because when he talks about the beloved, he's talking about God, the lover. It isn't just something outside. It's something that he wants to be joined with. And that is what we're looking to do. So that is what you're looking at. You must love God with all your heart. That is the Mother Mary. And once you find that, there is truth in loving thyself. Because if you can love the God within you, you can love the God outside of you so easily. And we think that is the opposite. It's easy to love the God out here, but it's a deeper love when you know your oneness with Spirit. And the richness, the fruits that are made manifest from a space of divine love becomes even more beautiful when it's manifested from within to without. And that will allow you to love others so much more deeply, to be of service without question. And that is truly the heart of unconditional love. The person who desires happiness and fullness of life must learn how to express love towards all. I didn't say some, I said all. So what does all mean to you? Give me an example of what all is. Unity, oneness. Specifics, everybody and everything. What does everything mean? Specifics. How about that scarf you're wearing? The grass, the birds. You get what I'm trying to go now?
My life, my will.
Your life, your will. What else?
Stuff that's ugly.
Yes. Ooh. Again, that's going from the outside and making judgments, where Jesus is all about the divine love, loving everything and everyone. Thank you I couldn't tell who said that, but thank you. That was perfect. So the only way that we can truly benefit from the tremendous power of love is to express it, and express it from a space and a place of this divine love. So I want to end this talk with two different stories, one representing the soul as seen as Elizabeth, and the last one as a prayer, a poem that we sing all the time that I believe represents Mother Mary, and I think helps illustrate this. So I'm going to tell a story about Reverend Bill Fisher. He was in ministerial school around 1952. And he was in this class taught by the director of Silent Unity Prayer Ministry. She was the director of it at the time, Mae Rollins. And it was a class about love. And so Mae Rollins gave them an assignment. She told them that if anyone had a problem loving anyone else, come see her. Can you imagine being a ministerial student at that? I mean, you're supposed to almost levitate, and to walk into the director of the prayer ministry, Silent Unity, and go, yeah, I have a problem with someone. Yeah. And he did. He went into May Rollins and he said, May, as much as I do, I cannot stand a particular student who's here. And so May gave him a different assignment. She said, I want you to take a week and I want you to look at this person's life. Really delve into it. Every time you see them, look for something to like. Just one thing. I just ask you for one thing. Go. And he's like, really? Yes, go, she said. And so Bill, dutifully, he went back, and day after day, he looked. He looked for one thing. And he took a week, and then he took a half a week more. He went back to May Rollins and said, I've tried, and I've looked, and I've delved into his personality, mind, body, spirit, and May, I can't find a doggone thing I like about this man. I can't. And so May Rollins said, looked at him square in the eye and said, take another week. Find one thing that you like about him. There has to be one thing. Really? Yes, one thing. So Bill went back in. Took another week. Head down. He went back to May Rollins. May looked him in the eye and said, what do you have? What do you like? He took a deep breath in and he said, I like his tie. Yes, us ministers have things to grow up with as well. And so immediately May said, I want you to go to him right now and tell him that you like his tie. What? I want you to go immediately to him and tell him you like his tie. So he did. He walked up to this man. He looked him in the eye and he said, I love your tie. And the man looked at him and immediately he started taking off the tie and he gave it to Bill. That's the story of what love can do. And it's a story that melted the heart of a man who could not find even one thing except something external. The beauty of this story is that from that moment on, they became lifelong friends. See, the external is beautiful. I'm not downplaying the external. I am saying it's a part of our evolution, that there's more to do beyond that. Which leads me to the poem. It's a song that we sing, and I will do my best not to sing it or put it into a melody. And it's actually a prayer. It's called, I Behold the Christ in You. And this is the example of the love of Mary, seeing the truth of who we all are and knowing the truth of who she carried. And this is also the truth that is demonstrated by Jesus. I behold the Christ in you. Hear the life of God. I see. I can see a great peace too. I can see you whole and free. I behold the Christ in you. I can see this as you walk. I can see this in all that you do. I can even see it as you talk. I behold God's love expressed. I can see you filled with power. And I can see you ever blessed. I see Christ in you, and 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 you, hour by hour. I behold the Christ in you. I can see that perfect one. And it's in uppercase, meaning the Christ. I can see the God as you. Led by God in all you do, I can see God's work is done. That is what is ours to be evolved into. That is what is pregnant within you continuously, moment by moment, second by second, is that knowing that God is working within us. And it isn't just outside. It is in here. From head to toe, every part of you, God is. And all is well. And so let us say our affirmation is one of Unity's affirmations for this week. And so listen and just absorb it. And then if you agree with it, we can speak it together. On this day of Advent, I will open my heart and leave it open no matter what is happening to me and around me. Breathe that in. And if that feels right to you, if you want to affirm that, let us say this together. On this day of Advent, I will open my heart and leave it open no matter what is happening to me and around me. Breathe that in, and we're going to say it one more time. Three is a charm, yes? On this day of Advent, I will open my heart and leave it open no matter what is happening to me and around me. And so it is. Amen.